Gamers around the world waited with great anticipation last Tuesday for the project launch of Microsoft's Xbox One.
What if a single device could provide all your entertainment? And what if that device could turn on your TV and talk to all of the devices in your living room? And what if it was always ready and connected? Well, now it's all going to begin with two simple words. Xbox On.
The rollout included a sleek video of how the new Xbox could integrate all of your home entertainment technologies into one clever package controlled by voice and by gestures, with few references to gaming. Maybe not so surprising, given that last year, use of online entertainment surpassed online gaming for the first time. Critics accuse Microsoft of alienating loyal gamers in a bid to appeal to the masses. Damon Warren joins us with more on that. He's co-founder of Killscreen and former culture reporter for The Wall Street Journal. Damon, welcome back to Word of Mouth.
Hello. How are you, Virginia?
Just fine. Thank you. Xbox One, maybe not so much. What makes this the third generation console and its launch so very different from past versions?
Well, I think that the dream for Microsoft from the very beginning was to create a device that would be the center of your living room. That was what Bill Gates said almost 10 years ago. But, you know, if you looked at the way that we operated in our living rooms 10 years ago, it was very different. Broadband internet was not a thing that people had. Fiber optic services like Fios didn't exist. The array of social networking services that we use on a daily basis from, you know, Instagram, Skype, Facebook, those didn't exist. And so Microsoft was always looking for a way to get into our living rooms. And there were really, at the time, there were really only two boxes that people basically had, maybe three. So you had a, you know, maybe a DVD or a VHS player, you had your cable box, and then the video game console. And so, you know, for Microsoft, it made the most sense to pursue the video game route, particularly being a software company. What's very different about the way, I want to be very clear here, what's different about the way that Xbox is being marketed as opposed to what the device actually is that Microsoft is positioning it as something that will do everything for you. And in that sense, their competition isn't really the PlayStation 4. It's really your cable box or Apple TV or the host of other media streaming devices that are out there. And you really saw that in the presentation. Gaming was something that was discussed, but it was something that was pretty late in the presentation. They talked about the other entertainment options. But in that sense, Microsoft is sort of viewing gaming as one piece of the puzzle as opposed to the only reason that you would purchase the device.
So is this kind of mass market family style offering something Gates and Microsoft have been planning, or is this more of a kind of response to an unforeseen market challenge?
It was always there. And, you know, for folks who have been diehard, you know, Xbox gaming advocates, if you looked at the presentation of the previous iteration of the Xbox 360, you'll notice that when you, you know, boot up your Xbox 360 right now, you're presented with, you know, your homepage. And over the past year and a half, 18 months or so, Microsoft has been tweaking that, adding entertainment options, adding other types of features like Netflix, HBO Go. If you're a Comcast subscriber, you can use Xfinity on it. So this has been part of a shift over the last year and a half, 2 years, that's already been coming. So if you've really been looking at what you see when you boot up your Xbox, you really shouldn't be surprised at all.
Gamers have had an adverse reaction to the Xbox One product launch. Here is a clip from a YouTube video blogger behind the Angry Joe show.
This is literally the worst reveal event I've ever seen. If you cannot bring your big guns, if you cannot bring the good stuff to your reveal, don't do the reveal!
Well, a rather adamant, angry Joe. How representative do you think he is of the general gaming demographic?
Well, I think that again, is part of what's changed. If you look at who plays games now, and what's changed over the last 10 years is that there's this whole world of people who did not play games 10 years ago, but now do because of, you know, things like the Nintendo Wii, because of Apple iOS products like the iPad, and, you know, also because of, you know, the Microsoft 360. My girlfriend, for example, uses my 360 to watch Netflix, but she told me after the Xbox One announcement that she would be much more likely to play games in the future if it was was part of other media things that she was already doing. So it's not so much that, you know, quote unquote gamers, hardcore gamers are in the minority, but I think it's important to remember who actually is using these devices. And Microsoft is trying to move out of the much smaller pool of quote unquote video game consoles into the much broader world of media devices. So there's surely going to be some people who are upset. It is worth noting that Microsoft knows that at some level, if you are really diehard about games, Microsoft has franchises that you will come back for. And the two most notable ones that they did show at the presentation were Madden, a football game that's very, very popular, and also Call of Duty. And the reason why is because Microsoft has their own social network. It's called Xbox Live. And they know that if you want to play either of those games, two of which are the best-selling in the world, then you know you have to buy an Xbox. So they, at some level, I know Microsoft was expecting this, but they also figured that these people will come back. And there are more game announcements that are slated to come later this year at E3, which is the big video game conference in Los Angeles, will be next month.
I guess a couple of big innovations here. The new console does not work with older versions of games, so there's an almost planned obsolescence. But the games are also accessed without discs, so they're downloaded to an account. So if we look at that, putting a watermark or digital signature on it and other protections against installing used games, it looks like this industry is doing its best to tighten security about products that are already on the market. Wouldn't that be get the dander up of your average gamer?
Well, to some extent, we've sort of accepted that. I mean, if you look at the way that Apple distributes content, I mean, it's locked down. It's tied to a single account. You can't share it with other people. Your friend can't come over and borrow your copy of Angry Birds or a movie that you might have downloaded on the iTunes store. So to some extent, Microsoft is really reflecting values that we've already seen. It's the same with, Netflix. If I have a Netflix account, I could share a password with another person, but I don't necessarily own the rights to those movies. And so to some extent, I think it does speak to the larger issue of ownership in the new digital economy. When I purchase something, what does that actually mean? Previously there's this law of first sale, which means the first sale doctrine, which means if I buy something at a thrift store, I can resell it to another person. And those rights haven't really carried over in the digital age. So in that respect, I think Microsoft is just part of a larger conversation in terms of who owns things online. So we shouldn't be surprised there.
Jamin Warren, co-founder of Killscreen and former culture reporter for The Wall Street Journal. Great to have you with us.
Thanks so much.
There's a link to read his article and review of the new Xbox One at wordofmouthradio.org.